because our identity is the church. And today, if you're new with us, then you've not heard us say this, but this is something we're trying to get just ingrained in our minds and in our vocabulary, is that we don't go to church. We don't come and go to some building or to some service and call that the church. The Bible calls Jesus' church his bride. It calls us a family. And today, that's why we're together. We've gathered together as God's children. And we're getting together and we're sharing something with one another. And today, that's what we're going to encourage you to do. I'll just go ahead and warn you right now. This is going to be one of the most ordinary mornings you've ever had. But the greatest part about it being so ordinary is that that's how God uses us in this life and in this world, ordinarily. We're parents, we're sons and daughters, we're employees, or we're bosses, we're something in this world. He's given us a task every day to do, and sometimes it seems quite ordinary to us. And that's exactly where God has you, because he wants to use you in your ordinary life. And today, that's what we're here to celebrate. We're going to take communion together at some point today. Chris has been calling this a big family reunion. And so we want to catch up. If you're new with us today, I want to encourage you to jump right into this and meet someone. But here's the thing, church, this is to you. Don't let them take the first step. You go to them, okay? This is getting out of our comfort zone a little bit, but let's face it. If we can't get out of our comfort zone here, then what are we going to expect to do when we walk out of the doors? Amen? So let's make this a rehearsal for what our everyday life could look like. We're going to read this out of Colossians 3, and this is going to kind of sum up what we want to do today. It's in Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, this compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." See, the typical church service that you're used to, where you come in and you get, you know, a show put on in front of you with some songs and somebody preaches to you, it's not a bad thing, it's not wrong, but that's not the true definition of church. That's a gathering of the church, and it's something that we do corporately. But this, it can look like what we're going to do today and still be straight from the word. So we get together and we put on love. We forgive one another. See, it's in our relationships that the world sees who we are. It's in the way that we love one another and treat one another that the world sees God's love is real. So today we're going to practice that and we're going to rehearse it. I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to kind of get started and direct a couple of things. I just encourage you, because this is the last time I get to talk to you. Don't miss an opportunity today to grow or start a relationship with someone else. Okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your son. And God, we know that we wouldn't be a family without him. So we lift him up as the greatest treasure of our hearts. God, I pray that you would give us the faith to really believe that he is better. God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. We confess, God, that we take each other for granted and we don't live out this life with them. So God, I pray that you just kind of give us a passion to be with one another, for us to see the importance of it. God, I pray for the believers that are gathered around the world today and through this week, these churches, God, who would be persecuted if their governments or whoever might know that they were there. God, I pray that you would give them safety as they do gather together. God, and as we pray for them, I pray that you would help us to remember and be thankful for and grateful for the fact that we'd get to gather openly here. God, help us to see that we don't need to take time like this for granted. So God, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world being persecuted for your name's sake. God, help us to make disciples today and to glorify you in word and in deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My name is Shelley Greer, and a little over a year ago, an event from my past resurfaced, and I really believe that I wouldn't be alive today if I hadn't have got the help from my community group here at 24. In the spring of 2008, I was in a theater class and paired with a guy where we had to meet outside of class a few times. The first time we met at a local coffee shop, and we soon realized it was way too loud to get any real work done. So the next time he texted me and he decided to come over to my apartment. We started working on our assignment, and into the scene, he tried to kiss me. It was a little awkward, but I just brushed it off and kept going with the assignment. But soon it turned pretty ugly. He ended up slapping me around, slinging me around my room until he was eventually able to force himself on me. Then he just left. I went to bed, and I know now that it was because I was in a state of shock. The next morning when I woke up, I got in the shower and I was caught by my image in the mirror. I looked at myself and I saw bruises and handprints on my neck and hickeys on my body. I lost it, but I knew I had to go to the police. So I did. I went to the police. They talked to me, interviewed me, took pictures of me, and then they eventually brought him in, only later to release him because he had friends lie and vouch for him that he was at a party all night. And so the police said it was a he said, she said case. There was nothing I could do. So I did what a lot of people do. I buried it deep down and didn't deal with it for a long time. I went about my life and forgot that that boy ever existed until last winter when my world fell apart. It was just a normal day. I had a Facebook message and I opened it up and it was from that guy. All it said was, "How are you doing?" But that one sentence rocked my entire world. My world started to spiral apart. And when you're spiraling, you don't realize you're spiraling. There were days I couldn't sleep at all. And then there were other days I didn't want to pull myself out of bed to go to work. And then sometimes all I wanted to do was work, because when I was working, I wasn't thinking about that guy thinking about me. I was cutting myself as a way to escape from all the overwhelming pain. I didn't know why he messaged me. I felt dirty, I felt unsafe, and I felt ashamed of what I had let happen. I knew things were getting out of my control. That's when I finally decided to open up to my community group leaders. I knew people in my community group here knew something was going on with my life because of what I had shared, but I had never shared this secret with anyone but the police. So I did what was probably one of the scariest things in my entire life. I told someone. And then after I told them, everything wasn't all better. They told me I needed to go to a counselor. The last thing I wanted to do after unloading these shameful details of my life to people I knew was to tell them to a stranger. But I did. And this is really where Jesus started to work in my life, because I didn't have to go alone. People from my community group took me to counseling sessions. They talked to me after I went to a session when I was crying on the phone because things started getting really intense. There was even someone anonymous from our church that paid for a few sessions for me to go. I still don't know who they are. After I'd opened up to some people in my community group, the Holy Spirit was really pressing upon me to tell everyone. But I was pretty scared. Not just scared because the story was so ugly, but I didn't want to be seen as a victim. I didn't want to be judged for being another stupid college student that did something they shouldn't have. But I knew that opening up was really the only way for me to deal with this. And so I did. And people didn't treat me like a victim. I wasn't immediately judged for what I had let happen or how I had handled it. I was greeted with love, with hugs, with text messages from ladies in the group asking how I was doing. That's when I knew how powerful talking to people really was. Today, there's still turmoil. I'm not telling you some sugar-coated story where everything is 100% okay now. I still struggle with self-worth. I still ask myself the question, will I ever be good enough for anything? My confidence is in Jesus and that God uses the worst parts of our life to make us more like Him. I'm learning how important it is for us to speak up when something's going on and how important it is for us to be intentional in the lives of others. Satan doesn't want us to share our burdens, but God designed us with a need for Him and for other people. And we all need people in our lives, no matter what we have endured or what you're currently enduring, to point us to the cross and God's sacrificial love for us.
May this place of rest in the fold of your journey bind you tall. You will never walk alone.
In the shelter of each other, we will live. In the shelter of each other,
Shelly was very brave to share that story, obviously. And in doing so, one of the reasons why she shared her story the way that she did is because she wanted other people to understand that there is healing in sharing the things that we go through in this life. The temptation of something like that, when we go through, you know, some horrible experience or whatever, is that we would bottle it up and that we would never share that with anybody. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to share our lives together. He doesn't want us to lock the door, throw away the key, hide behind, stay in the dark, all of those things that so many of us are so used to doing. The truth is that God created us in a need for community. And the truth is that we're supposed to do that for one another as the church. And so this morning, we're going to practice that just a little bit. We're going to do some fun stuff today. I hope if you are visiting with us, I hope that you know that we're glad that you're here. And I hope that you know that this is a very different week for us. But it's also kind of the byproduct of something that we've been working on for a while here, where we've been talking for quite some time about how we don't want to go to church. We want to be the church. And so based upon that premise, if we want to be the church, what does that look like? And if it looks something different than like just gathering, singing songs, listening to somebody preach, which it does oftentimes look different than that, then we should practice those things. And those things should be important enough to us that we would sacrifice full-on Sunday mornings at times. So that's what we've begun doing on the first Sunday of every month. Now, we're very aware this isn't the first Sunday. We already had something scheduled for the first Sunday of this month that we couldn't get out of, and we didn't want to. And so we moved it to this Sunday. But every first Sunday of the month, we're going to practice being the church. And honestly, already, this morning was unbelievable, by the way. We had a blast in the first service, and already in January, when we had first Sunday in January, completely different type of deal than what we're doing today, but another way of us being the church together. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that we're going to be the church together. This is Savannah, by the way, and she's just hanging out because Mama could use a little help, and sometimes Mamas need some help, right? Can I get an amen, Mamas? Whoa, that's the biggest Mama amen right there ever. Right now, Mamas are like nudging daddies. They're like, yep, there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. Every Sunday when we gather together, one of the things that we do is we have a welcome time.
And every Sunday I say the same stuff. And if you've been here, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. And this is what I usually say. We're going to give you a few minutes to greet one another, to shake hands, to give out hugs, to ask people how you can pray for them. Okay? And so we're going to do that again today, only we're going to do it for quite some time today. So it's not just going to be 3 minutes or 5 minutes. It's going to be 20 minutes. And we're going to give you 20 minutes so that you can check on people, meet people, greet people. Now, one of the other things that we're priming the pump with today, and already I know, you know, we've got some people here that you're probably already going, you know what, Chris, this, I can't do this. This is too hard for me. I can't talk to people. I freeze up, whatever. Listen, just kill all that, okay? Because God wants to kill all that. He wants you to spend some time with some other people, letting other people check on you. You being a part of checking on other folks, getting to love on them, check on them, see how you can just pray for them. You might pray for them now, today. You might just say, hey, I'm going to continue to pray for you, whatever it is. I encourage you to pray for them today. We're going to have the time to do that today. And the truth is, when else are you going to have a better opportunity to take it when it's given to you than right here? Because if we can't do this here, we can't do this out there. And so we want you to take a few moments. Now, one of the things that we've been kind of pushing to kind of lead up to today, and you may not have known this before now, but I'm about to tell you, and you can still change your plans. It doesn't matter. Whatever you've got going on today is not that important. Mama's house will still be there next week, okay? But here's what we're going to do. We're challenging people today that when you leave here today, that you don't leave alone. Now, single people, this is like the best day ever for you, okay? And so, no, but seriously, like today, we want to encourage you that you would go eat with people. You may have something in a crock pot at the house, and you go, you know what? I'm going to invite some people over, and they can eat what we're eating. Or you may go, you know what? I'm so poor. We don't have any food. I'm going to have to ask somebody to buy me lunch. That's okay. Just go to them and be like, hey, buy me a taco, okay? You know, I want to eat with you. Will you buy me lunch? You know, just ask them, all right? Don't be afraid. And, you know, or you could just say, hey, you know, we don't have anything at the house. We don't have any food at the house. Let's just go out to eat. We're going to invite a family to go with us, or we're going to invite that person to go with us. As you are meeting people today, I'm challenging you to eat with strangers today. Okay. All right. And you're going to get into this, and you're going to go, honey, I think those people that are coming over to the house, I think they might be crazy. Okay. And that's okay. That's all right. Because they probably are, and you probably are too. We're a bunch of crazy sinners, okay? And that's why we need Jesus, and that's why we need each other. And so this morning, I want you to take full opportunity as you're meeting people, be thinking, hey, just go for it. Just ask somebody, single people, be like, hey, baby, you wanna come over and eat some Fruit Loops? Because you know single people don't have any food at their house, right? You know, and by the way, get some of that good milk on the way home. Okay. Don't have the nasty milk with your Fruit Loops. All right. No, but seriously, this is a great opportunity for us to get to be the church for a little while. We'll continue to worship and song in a little while. We're going to have communion together today. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. So, you know, this isn't like a snack table, by the way, just in case you were wondering and you were getting a little hungry. Just hang on. We'll get to that in just a little while, and I'll talk about that. But let's do this. Let's take a few moments. If you are visiting with us and you want to fill out a card there in the backs of the seats, fill it out and drop it offering later. We'd love to check on you. We're glad that you're here. Let's take a while to love on some people, okay? And I'm talking about, like, let's move around the room. Let's check on people. You may need to sit because it's just not easy for you to stand or whatever for a long time. If you need to sit, that's fine. But let's move around the room. Let's check on some people. Let's love on each other. Find out who the people are that you're circled up with, and find out some people who they are elsewhere too, okay? Let's go.
Hey, we're gonna give you about 5 more minutes or so, maybe just a few more minutes to do what you're doing, to hang out and talk. What we're gonna do right now, I'm gonna send, if you are a parent that has a kid that's being kept in the kids' church, go pick them up. The second half of the service, we want them in here. We're gonna take communion together. We want you to see them to see you do that. So right now, we're gonna give you a few minutes. If you've got a kid over there, go to the double doors where you drop them off to pick them up, and they'll be waiting on you. So go do that now. We'll start up with communion here in just a minute.
All right, check. All right. Hopefully you found somebody that you think you can stand and eat lunch with today. If not, you can point at them now and go, hey, you want to have lunch today? Come on, single people. All you got to do is say, hey, the preacher told me to do it. Let's have lunch. All right? You can sit. I'll be up here, okay? It's good to have everybody here. I know we're bringing in the rest of the kids and stuff. Thank you guys for hanging in with what's kind of a bit of a crazy and very different, you know, kind of morning and that kind of thing. We want to take a few minutes together as the body of believers and celebrate something that Jesus gave us to celebrate together, which is communion. The thing about communion that I think a lot of us, you know, that grew up in church, you know, we've made communion out to be in our mind like this very sacred thing that only happens, you know, at certain times together. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I grew up in church where, like, there was almost kind of like this whole, like, marching order thing that they would do to, like, you know, we're going to stack the plates and all this kind of stuff. And nothing wrong with that. I think it's important for us to realize that it's an ordinance of the church and that God has called us to do it. But I think for us to kind of start at the very basic of it, to recognize that the word communion is called that because we're supposed to do it in community. We're supposed to do it together. And I think for us to even, you know, kind of go back, I'd like to read just this passage real quick of Scripture if I can. And it's, well, I lost it. There it is. It's in the book of Mark. And it says this in Mark 14, verse 22. It says, "And they were eating, and as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" And this is Jesus telling the disciples about what the bread and what the wine were going to mean for the rest of their lives. And you, I mean, to kind of think about this and put themselves in, you know, put ourselves in their shoes, I think for us to realize, you know, Jesus is telling the disciples about this and explaining this to the disciples before he's killed on the cross. That's one of mine, don't worry. But, you know, Jesus is telling them this before he's killed on the cross. So for them to have complete understanding of what this meant at that moment in time, I don't really know that they were really tracking with him. And he was trying to help them to understand. But I think for us to think about it like this, think about after Jesus had been crucified, think about after he'd risen again from the dead, think about from then on, every time they saw bread, what did they think? Every time they saw wine, what did they think? And you're talking about two things that they had at every meal. Something that they saw every day. And what Jesus was doing was he was giving them a reminder. Daddy's girl. Jesus was giving them a reminder of, you know, this is forever going to remind you of my body and of my blood and the sacrifice that I'm making. And I think for us this morning to realize that what God was doing, what Jesus was doing, was that he was giving us something that for every day, the rest of our lives, that we would remember who God is. This is part of it. This is us being together. This is us being the church, right? Y'all are so proud right now, aren't you? You pulled this off. I think for us to remember this, that this is the gospel, that we're all sinners and that we need a Savior. And God sent his one and only Son to take our punishment that we deserve, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we got all cleaned up, right? Not after we got it all together, while we were still sinners, Jesus died on our behalf. for that anybody that would believe in him, for anybody that would trust in him, that he would take away all of our sin and make us new. And let me just tell you, you may be sitting here today and you may have never heard the gospel. So just simply put, and I just want you to know something. Jesus died for all, for anybody that would believe. And if you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus, for him to be the one to save you, for him the one to be enough, that our sacrifices of trying to be good people and do the right things, they're not enough. Being good people, doing the right things is not enough. We need Jesus. We need a Savior, and he's it. For us this morning, as we take communion together, we're going to do this a little differently today than what we've done in the past, and to kind of go in with what we're doing today. Again, this is about us stating community is important to 24. So important that we're going to take a day and that we're going to live in community together through this day. We're going to eat together today. We're going to take the Lord's Supper today together. That we're going to try to pray together. We're going to be there for each other. This is our heart. That it's so important to us that we take this time to do this, and that it's being the church together. And so here's what we're going to do today. Normally our deacons help in actually serving us. I don't know. And I love this, by the way. We have some amazing deacons at our church, but normally they serve us, and we'll come in big groups, you know, and we'll all get our crackers, juice, whatever, and then they'll speak the gospel over us, you know. And what an amazing thing for us to get to hear that and be reminded this represents the body and the blood of Christ who died for us. And for us to be able to remember that and thank God for what he's done through Jesus is an amazing thing. But for us this morning, here's what we're going to do. Instead of the deacons serving us today, we're going to serve one another. If you didn't know, we're all ministers of the gospel. My calling as a pastor isn't greater than your calling to be a construction worker. Okay? It's just different callings. That's it. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel. And so this morning, we're going to minister to one another. And so you've met a bunch of people this morning. You've met some people, and maybe God's laid some of them on your heart. Maybe you got to pray with somebody today. Maybe you just got to talk with somebody for a while, and you just really feel like God's speaking your heart about this person. I want to encourage you to do this. Serve them. Serve them communion today. And you may say, well, Chris, I won't even know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just say, I'd like to serve you communion today. In the first service, I just got in. I just took it to some people and I said, hey, I love you. Thank you. You know, it's simple. Don't make it hard, okay? This is about us being the body together and loving on one another and continuing in community together. We'll be continuing to worship together through music in just a few minutes when this time comes to a close. But I want to take a second and I want to pray and ask God to bless and remind us in our hearts what Jesus did, and to be grateful and thankful for that. Let's pray together. God, you are better than everything else. You are better than all the things that we think are so important. And God, what you've done for us, we did not deserve. We deserved death, but you gave us grace and you brought us life for those of us that would believe in you and trust in you to be our Savior. Lord, for those that are here right now, Lord, that have not trusted in you, God, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they might trust in you and believe in you to save them. God, thank you for not just dying on the cross and taking away sin, but God, thank you for defeating death and proving that everything that you said was true. Thank you for defeating death for us that we could live forever with you. God, as we take this cup, as we take this bread, God, I pray that we would be reminded of your sacrifice and that we would be grateful. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. Only instruction I'll give you is this. If you are not a believer, if you haven't trusted in Christ, this is what we're about to do. This is for those that have trusted in Christ. You can just hang at your seat. There's no reason to feel awkward or anything like that. If you are not a member of our church, you are more than welcome to take communion with us as long as you've trusted in Christ. You don't have to be a member here. I know some churches you have to be a member there to be able to take Lord's Supper with them. That's not the case here. And we're glad for you to take communion with us as long as you've trusted in Jesus. So I encourage you, serve one another and spend this time, a very special time for us to remember Christ and how we can love on one another at the same time. Let's go.